Thank you so much, ladies, and what a blessing. And from Prospect, what a wonderful church, too. Thank God for it. And but what a privilege to be here. And I don't know where my wife is at, but where's she at? Wave at me, sweetie. All right. Just stand up. Maybe another time I'll have you come up with me. And this is my wife, Julie. You can give her a hand. Thank you. I appreciate that. She is so encouraging, always uplifting me, and always just... No, I'm kind of being sarcastic about that. Brother Harold, when he asked me a while back about preaching at a ladies' conference, and he asked me to preach here, I told my wife, I said, Brother Harold wants me to preach at a ladies' advance. She said, why? So, I don't know. That's just the way it, you know, wives are honest, aren't they? And we have three boys. Now, I will tell you something a little bit about my wife. I was preaching a couple weeks ago. I've been doing a series on the home, on families, on Sunday night. And my wife threw a shoe at me. While I was preaching, my wife threw a shoe at me. And then she threw a second one in a little bit. That's the kind of wonderful wife that I have. And I love it. I had more fun. She threw a shoe, something I said, I think being joking, sarcastic. Everybody started laughing. I looked and there was a shoe sitting in front of the thing. And I said, obviously your aim is as good as your cooking. Well, then everybody went... And then we went back and forth, and we're preaching on the family, and we had so much fun. That was the funnest night I've ever had at church, and I'm so glad. If she had flats on, thank God it wasn't heels. I'm being serious about that. The next Sunday she wore heels, and I was very nice to her from the pulpit. John chapter 6 today, John chapter 6. Let me say, I am a bit of a fish out of water in a meeting. You know, us, honestly, and I was being sarcastic, but it's true. Us men, we just don't get it, and I know that. I do a lot of marriage counseling, and sometimes I just want to look at that guy and like, what are you thinking? And I get it, but, you know, I figure what I'm going to do is what God's asked us to do, and that's just preach God's word. And if you're willing enough to hear it from an individual you don't know, God's good enough to use it in your life. And I've been praying about some things, and God asked me to speak on this subject today as we kind of begin this conference. How exciting and what an honor to get to do anything with Dr. and Mrs. Vaughn. They are the real deal. And that's all I'll say. I don't have enough time, but I'll say more later. But they're a blessing. All of you ladies that have made it here, trust me, you're only going to have me a few moments out of this whole thing, so it won't be that bad. And some of my favorite preachers are preaching at this conference. They're women, but they're some of my favorite preachers. And I can't really say that, but, you know, kind of a thing. I'd have them for revival. But anyway, John chapter 6. Miss Denise Cunningham has been at our church, and our ladies just loved her. And the deacons, I think, wanted to ask her to be the pastor. I don't know. She was that good. John chapter 6. I want to speak just briefly this morning or this afternoon, whatever it is, on the original dinner on the ground. The original dinner on the ground. Very, very familiar story. We've all heard, I don't know how many messages out of this. And I've preached a message one time and talked about the lad, the loaves, the Lord, and the leftovers. And I preached one time on this passage about the problem, the proving, the possibility, the power, and the provision. And we could come up with about 100 outlines out of this passage. But I want to talk about it a little bit of a different way today with your permission. Look at verse 1, John chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take, notice, a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, notice earlier it said that there's not enough for them to have a little, but when Jesus was done, they were filled. Notice this, when they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, who were those men? Those were the disciples, by the way. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Story kind of never gets old, but I know that you're familiar with it. So let's pray and let's ask God to bless us today. Now, you know the story, and Matthew tells us that Jesus wanted to speak to these people. They had followed him, and Matthew tells us that the disciples had told him, listen, let them all go, just dismiss them for a while, they can all go get themselves something to eat, and then they can come back. But Jesus knew if you do that, you're going to lose some, just like at church. If you have a service and say, listen, we're going to take a 15-minute break, use the restroom, half of them will go home. That's just the way it is. So Jesus said, no, we need to feed them now. And so he said, what do we have? What can we do? And of course, he asked Philip, and he knew what Philip would do. And Philip said, listen, hey, we have 200 penny worth, basically, and that's not enough to buy enough bread for these people. It doesn't even come close. And so you know the story that Andrew ends up bringing this little boy to Jesus. And this word for lad in the Bible is the word patamion. Now, if you have husbands or sons at home that kind of, they like all the action movies, there's, you know, the Star Wars movies. Hollywood gets a lot of their stuff from the Bible, by the way. Now, they don't teach the Bible, but they get a lot of things just to try to insert. And in the Star Wars movies, all those that were learning, like Luke Skywalker, he was the Padawan to Darth Vader. That means lad. It means that you're young enough to be taught. That's where this word comes from. And Andrew said, there's a lad here. So he was somewhere from maybe 8 years old up until maybe 15 years old, somewhere in that period. He said, there's a lad here and he's got this lunch. It's just 5 loaves and it's kind of 2 small fish. And if I could illustrate, you know, basically you have all these people sitting there and then Andrew comes up and said, hey, there's a boy here and here's this boy holding his lunch. And I mean, it was small. I mean, we're talking 2 small fish. We're talking just a couple pieces, little pieces of bread. And here he's got this little lunch. You got 5,000 men and probably plus women and children kind of sitting there. And Andrew said, you know, but what is that for so many? And Jesus, the Bible says, took the loaves and you know the story. And then they started feeding these people. And then all of a sudden it never ran out. And all 5,000 men plus probably women and children, whoever else, not only ate, but they ate till they were filled, and then they had fragments left over. You know the story. But I want to today just ask you a little bit. I want to focus on this little lad just for a minute. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Thank you for all that you've done. Lord, touching heaven, changing earth. And Lord, earth needs changed right now. But Lord, even more specific, we need changed. We need changed. And Lord, I would dare say there's got to be so many hurting hearts and lives and things that we wouldn't know that these precious ladies have been through. And God, I believe your word has the answers. So I pray you'd help me today to rightfully divide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me say a couple things. I don't know if you ever thought about this. First, I want to ask a question. What were his choices? Now, this lad, we know that he gave Jesus his lunch, and we know that kind of a thing, but do you know that there were some other choices there that day? And I just wanted to give them to you. Now, I'm not saying that they make a lot of sense, but they were choices that this boy had. Number one was this, he could have not even showed up that day. He could have not even been there. And by the way, how exciting is that for a young man to go here preaching for about a couple hours? I mean, there might have been, he could have said, listen, I got better things to do. And hey, that, you know, I think there's something funner to do. And maybe he just, well, I haven't had a nap for a while. And hey, maybe I'd like to go do this. But he did go that day. And imagine what he would have missed out on if he hadn't. But can I say this? I see a whole lot of people nowadays missing out on what God has for them because they don't even show up. Can I give you a choice number two? He could have just kept the lunch for himself. I mean, this way, by the way, it was his lunch. And this way, at least, he knew he would get something to eat. I mean, that was a choice that he had. He could have just kept it. By the way, he's the one that packed it. He's the one that brought it. Or at least his mom is the one that provided for that. And why take the chance? If I give this, not only will all those people aren't going to be fed by this lunch, I probably won't either. He could have just kept it for himself. But can I tell you this? I've seen a whole lot of people in church that God's given blessings and talents and gifts and abilities, but for some reason, they just keep it for themselves. Just about every famous music star you know started off in a church choir. But somewhere along the way, they decided that they were going to keep their lunch for themselves. Choice number three, he could have just assumed that his lunch just wasn't big enough. Now, I mean, that would have kind of made sense. I wouldn't have blamed him for that. But one choice he'd have had, he could have just assumed, I'm not even going to offer this thing. I mean, it's probably, I just assume it's not big enough. Now that we know the story and now that we know what God can do, it was all that God needed. But that boy could have, his choice could have been that I just assume this isn't a good enough lunch to do that. And may I say, I know a lot of people at church that don't ever really get involved. There's so much for God that they don't do because they've convinced themselves that they just don't have the ability. They've convinced themselves that their little lunch isn't big enough to be used. May I say, if you're in this building today, God's given you talents. God's given you special gifts that he's not given anyone else. And I want you to know, just because you think that your lunch can't do what you would like for it to do, when you give it to God, he can do it. Can I give you another choice? Choice number four was this. He could have just wasted it and not used it at all. Now, he could have just taken his lunch, look at me, and thrown it right in the trash can. Now, we would say, preacher, that's ridiculous. That's not even a choice. Yeah, but I have seen a whole lot of people just take their life and put it right in the trash can. I mean, we would look at this story and say, well, that's ridiculous. Not only did God couldn't use it, but it didn't do any good for them either. Exactly. But I've seen people do it. Can I give you choice number five? He could have asked Jesus what he was going to get out of it. He could have said, Jesus, what am I going to get for this? He could have said, well, I got a lunch here and you don't really have much, but so how much are you going to give me for this? What's in it for me? You say, well, that would be selfish, but don't you and I, we know a lot of people that kind of, when it comes to serving God, what's in it for me? What's God going to do for me? Can I give you another choice? Number six, he could have just assumed that someone else would do it. He could have just assumed he had his lunch, but he could have thought, well, I'm sure somebody else does. Somebody else will take care of this. I'm sure somebody will show up. Somebody will do it. And dear friend, this just seems that way in church. A lot of times people in church, they just kind of assume there's always someone else that's going to do it. And you, precious ladies, can I tell you, why not you do it? Why don't I do it? Why don't we get involved and do it? Can I give you this last choice? He could have just said no. He had a lunch. It was available. Jesus wanted it. Jesus could use it. But that young man had the choice that day. He could have just said no. Can I tell you how many times I've preached, invitation time will come. And you can see God's worked on people. You can see conviction. You can see that God's working on them. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen them just say no, and go right back out the building, no different than how they came in. You know, those were his choices. And by the way, those, compared to what happened, those wouldn't have been very good choices at all. But may I say, every one of those choices are choices that you have too. Can I ask you a second thing? Okay, we know what his choices were, but let me ask you another question. What did he learn that day? I mean, now that we know what happened, after he watched that entire thing take place, what did he learn that day? Well, number one, I want you to see this in verse 9. He learned that God sees everyone as significant. Look at verse 9. There is a lad here. I mean, not even an adult. There's just a youngster here. And he's got 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish. And what are they among so many? But looking back, what did that boy learn that day after he watched what Jesus did? He realized that Jesus sees everyone as significant. And I want you to know today that Jesus sees you as significant. I find in here that this story involves Andrew. And by the way, we see Andrew 3 times in the Gospels. The first time, he brought his brother Simeon to the Lord. You know what that means? That's personal evangelism. The second time he's mentioned, he's bringing certain Greeks to Christ. That's foreign missions. But in this story, he's bringing a young lad. That's children's ministry. Andrew was always bringing someone to Jesus. Why? Because everyone is significant to him. That boy learned that day. Number 2, that boy learned what God can do when you put everything in his hands. Now look at verse 11. And Jesus took, notice, he took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Now, Luke 9, Mark 6, Matthew 14, they all tell us that when Jesus took those loaves, that he broke those loaves, and he blessed those loaves. He had them in his hands. Jesus took. Now look at verse 11. I want you to get this. Notice, Jesus took the loaves, and notice what happened next. He distributed to the disciples. Did you get that? Jesus took, then Jesus distributed. That's how Jesus works. We give him ourselves, then he makes something of us, and then he distributes us where he wants us. Everybody got that? He'll take you and then use you. That lunch, and I want you to get this, that lunch that day would not have helped anyone if it hadn't been touched by Jesus. That lunch wouldn't have even filled up that boy. It would have tided him over, but it wasn't a big enough lunch to even make him full. That lunch wouldn't have helped anyone that day unless Jesus touched it. But when he touched it, it changed everything. That little lunch was nothing on its own. Can I tell you something? You and I are nothing on our own. Jesus likes to take you just as you are, little lunch and all. And Jesus likes to take it from there. Touching heaven, changing earth. What are we talking about? I hope it's starting to make sense to you. Let me say this. It's not only about you touching heaven, it's about heaven touching you. That lunch would have been useless if Jesus hadn't touched it. What are we saying over these next 3 days? Ladies, we're saying this. Why don't we just say, God, would you touch me in a special way? See, that boy learned what Jesus can do when you put everything in his hands. Number 3, I want you to see this. That young man learned that God can do more than money can. Look at verse 7. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Look at that. That young man learned that day that God can do more than money can. Philip said, hey, you know, Jesus, 200 pennyworth of bread isn't enough to feed these people. But Jesus ended up feeding those people on way less than 200 pennyworth of bread. In fact, Jesus ended up feeding all those thousands of people, look at me, from this. So that boy learned that day, and you and I need to learn this, that Jesus can do a whole lot more than money can. And can I tell you something interesting about this story? Notice in verse 7, Philip, all he saw was the demand. God, there's too many people. Notice in verse 9, Andrew, all he saw was the supply. What is this among so many? Look at me. Philip saw that the demand was too high. Andrew thought that the supply was too low. But that little boy is the only one that looked at Jesus. Philip saw the supply, wasn't enough of it. Andrew looked at the demand, but this little boy looked at Jesus. Jesus can do a whole lot more than money can. Some of you here this weekend might have a lot of things going on, but one of them might be some financial issues. And sometimes we think that money or more money is going to fix these things. Can I tell you something? Jesus can do way more than money can. Number four, we're almost done. Look at John chapter 6, look at verse 9. Number four, this young man learned that God can meet needs no matter how big. Look at verse 9. There is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? Look at verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Did you hear me? Jesus met the needs of thousands of people that day at the same time. That young man watched Jesus meet the needs of thousands of people. May I say this? All those people there that day had needs. And can I say this? Some eat more than others. Would it be fair to say that to end up filling up, some needed more food than others? You see, the whole process looked as if it was an impossible need for God to meet. And yet, can I ask you something? What was the real need? Now, I don't know if you thought about this. The real need wasn't for those people to be fed. Look at me. The real need was for those people to hear the word of God. In order to meet the spiritual need, Jesus needed to meet the physical need. You see, Jesus wrought this miracle, look at me, not so that we could say he fed thousands of people. He did that miracle so that he could address the real need to keep them there so that he could preach the word to them. You see, Jesus can meet your physical needs, but more importantly, Jesus can meet your spiritual needs. Number 5, look at verse 9. This young man learned that God uses what is available. Look at verse 9. There is a lad here. There was a lad, there was a lunch, and it was available. You know, God doesn't care as much about your ability as he cares about your availability. Now, and hear me out here. Let's be honest. Jesus could have fed all those thousands of people there that day without his lunch. Jesus didn't have to have that boy's lunch to feed them. Do you agree with that? He didn't have to have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He could have just created it. He could have just done it. But Jesus, for some reason, chooses to allow us to have part in his miracles. God enjoys that. Now listen to me. There were probably other individuals that day that probably brought a lunch. You mean to tell me out of thousands of people, this young man was the only one that thought to bring something to eat? I mean, when you're going here preaching, you better pack something. I mean, somebody had to be smart enough, okay? I guarantee you, listen to me, that there's probably at least a few individuals that day that had a lunch there or had something to eat there. And in all probability, their lunches or whatever they brought was probably a bigger lunch and it was probably a better lunch. Look at me. But that didn't do anybody any good because it wasn't available to Jesus. But Jesus took what was available and he used it. May I say something? What good does your talent, your ability, your education, your gifts do if you don't give them to Jesus? The greatest ability is availability. Availability is the one ability that we all can have. Number 6, this young man learned that God's rewards are always greater than his demands. Look at verse 13. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Listen to me. Jesus always gives you more than you give to him. The Bible says God will not be a debtor to anyone. Notice, if you would, verse 13. And this is how I've been praying for this conference as God brought this to my mind as I was studying this week. Notice in verse 13, look at the kind of Savior that you and I have. Now, please watch. It says, they gathered them together. That's all the baskets that had been passed out. And they filled 12 baskets with the fragments that was left over. But notice this phrase, which remained over and above them that had eaten. Over and above. That's our Savior. Jesus provided a need, but he didn't just have enough. He went over and above. I've been asking the Lord to bless this conference this weekend, over and above what we could even come up with. That's what Jesus does. Whatever you give him, he always gives you back over and above. Whatever you ask him to do, he always does over and above. Whenever you have a need, he always provides over and above. In fact, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. Over and above. So let me ask you another question as we're closing down. What should we learn from this? Number one, you and I should learn that Jesus can take something small and make it big. Jesus can take something small and make it big. Number two, Jesus can take something ordinary and make it extraordinary. I don't know about you, but as I look at myself, my abilities, my talents, ordinary is that's a pretty lofty way to describe what I've got. I mean, ordinary at the best. But I have found that if you give God your ordinary, he gives you back extraordinary. That's what God does. You know why God doesn't take the extraordinary? Because extraordinary people don't think they need Jesus. Number three, you and I should learn that Jesus can take something limited and make it limitless. You know, there was only so far that boy's lunch should have gone that day. There was only so many people that should have fed. But Jesus loves to take something that you see as limited, and he loves to make it limitless. Last, I believe you and I should learn that Jesus can take something impossible and make it possible. Now, can I tell you, in my opinion, and I don't know, it's not in there. Have you ever wondered what happened to those 12 baskets full of food? Now, I mean, everybody's got their synopsis and everybody can look through, and smarter men than me that have studied this out and blah, blah, blah. But I haven't found that anybody seems to have that absolute patented answer. But can I tell you just my opinion? Can I tell you what I think happened? I think those baskets went home with that boy. I'm just telling you. Because he left home, and can you see as he left home, and we know kids, okay? He's anxious, he's going out, he's going to meet up with some buddies, you know, and he's going out that door, and we know moms, right about the time you hit the door and you're walking out, hey, babe, stop, come here. Did you get your lunch? And you can say that boy, Mom, I don't need a lunch. I got, you know, she's like, listen, I've heard about preachers, you get that lunch. Can you see this little boy? Grab the lunch. Going out for the day, thought he's going to have a good time. Can you see it? I can see him as he goes out that door, and his mom's saying, love you, and love you, Mom, and that door slams back. And all this time goes by, and all of a sudden, now listen, can you see it? All of a sudden, can you see it? Here it is. This is what this boy left with, and all of a sudden, the door swings open again. Can you see it? He kicks this door open. Mom! And she said, what? And he runs in. He said, you won't believe it. I can't wait to tell you what happened. She said, what do you mean? And she said, hold on. He has to come back out. And he said, Mom, look at this. I mean, goodness gracious, you, Mama, I got to show you, Mommy. Look at this. She said, what in the world? You had a little bag and down there. No, Mom, just wait a minute. No, you just got to understand.
Look at this, Mom. I can't carry it all. I got to put it out here. And hey, if I could have maybe a disciple, Doubting Thomas, come up with me if you would. I mean, the Bible says that the disciples helped him distribute them. Just set him there on the step stand, if you would. And he comes out here and he said, Mom, you wouldn't believe all this. And look at all this that I got. Look, she goes, where'd you steal those? And he said, no, Mom, look. I mean, these guys are helping me carry it. Look at all this that he sent back. I just can't wait to tell you what happened. And she says, what in the world are you doing? He says, look at this. Look at this big loaf of bread. Look at all this food. Could you see him losing breath? And he's going, It's all sitting there on the big dining room table. Mom's looking at it. She said, when you left, you have this. And when you came back, what am I supposed to do? We don't have refrigerators yet. Can you see as she pulls the chair out, sits down at the table? Explain yourself. And that boy gets that chair and sits down at the table and says, Mom, you won't believe this. I mean, there's thousands of people there. I didn't know there was going to be like that. I really didn't. And everybody's getting hungry. And there's some guys with this guy, Jesus, and they kept telling everybody, just go home, get your own food, whatever. He said, but Jesus stopped everything. He said, no. Make everybody sit down. And in this area, now I've not been there in Israel, but they say exactly where this happened. The Mount of Olives is in the background. It's an amphitheater automatically. He said, make everybody sit down. She said, Mom, I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden one of the guys with him, I had this little lunch, and all of a sudden I hear one of them saying, hey, listen, we don't have enough money to buy bread. And I thought, he said, Mom, I gave this to Jesus. And she said, he took it. And he prayed over it. And she said, then he just started putting it in baskets. He said, Mom, you would not believe this. I mean, it fed my lunch. It fed thousands upon thousands of people there. He said, I was just sitting there watching. And he said, I was so mesmerized, I realized I hadn't even gotten to eat anything myself. Because my lunch was gone, and then all of a sudden, everything was done. And all these baskets were still full of food. And Jesus looked over at me and smiled, and he said, thanks for your lunch. And then they've helped me carry all this home. Years ago, when I was in evangelism, I was preaching in Northern California. About 8 years, I did Northern California teen camp. A bunch of churches got together up there. And one year, I was up there preaching, and Friday was the last night of the camp. And Saturday, I had to fly out at 6 o'clock from San Francisco to go all the way back east for a meeting. My mom and dad were actually ministering at a church in Vallejo, California, and I was preaching in Northern California. So the plan was, I'm going to get done Friday night, drive home. It was about 3 hours from that camp to get there, and just get a couple hours sleep and get to the airport the next morning. And that whole week of camp, God just began to do work after work after work after work. Thursday night, we had 4 preacher's children saved. When the week was done, we had almost 40 kids saved, but 7 of them were called to preach. One of them pastors in San Diego right now. That Friday night service just went on and on and on, and then we ended up at a bonfire, and kids were testifying, giving up all their junk and all this stuff, and I couldn't leave, and that, man, I want to see what God's doing, you know. And so, man, it was almost midnight. I'm like, I got to fly out of San Francisco in 6 hours, and I'm 3 hours away from where I got to be. And I had to leave, and I got in the pastor let me borrow his Honda Civic, and it had a flat tire on top of a mountain there in California. I had to unpack the entire car to get that donut out of that car. And I'm trying to do all that, so about 3:45 in the morning, I pull into this mission house in Vallejo, and I thought, all right, I've got to be real quiet. I'm going to wake my mom and dad up, kind of a thing. And so I kind of came in, and I kind of opened up the door of that mission house, and I closed back in. When I got in, my mom was sitting there at the table. How many of you know, it doesn't matter how old they get, when you know babies are coming home, you don't go to bed. She's in her house coat, you know. She said, you okay? And I said, I'm great. I said, I had a flat tire, but I'm great. She says, "Are you hungry?" And I said, "Yes." Let me fix you something to eat real quick. 3:45 in the morning. She sat down. She goes, "Tell me about camp." And I said, "Mom," I started crying. I said, "You wouldn't believe what God did." I said, "If you weren't there, you don't understand it." I said, "You know, Elias Johnson, Pastor Tim Johnson's son, he got saved on Thursday night. And I started going through what God said. I talked about the boys that were called to preach. I talked about the testimonies. And I just said all the wonderful things that God had done all week long. And I'm just sitting there, tears going down my eyes. And my mom's sitting there listening to what God did during that week. And tears are coming down her eyes. And all of a sudden, I realized all these years later, I'm just another boy. Kicking the door open. I can't wait to tell his mom what Jesus did with my little lunch." May I say this? If we're going to start the week off right, it's going to require something. It's going to require you being willing to put your lunch in Jesus' hands. You say, "Preacher, my lunch isn't in good shape right now." I understand. I understand. My wife and I have just had the hardest year of our entire lives. I understand. But if you'll just give him whatever's left of it, you have no idea what he's going to do with that lunch. You say, "Preacher, there's a whole lot of ladies here. I just, you know, there's so many people talented, and I just, there's just not a lot that I can do." Well, listen, don't assume that your lunch isn't big enough. That was a bad choice if that boy would have made that choice. You just go ahead and give what little lunch you have. All it takes is his touch, not yours. God can do something great. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't know about you. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've come home with baskets over and above what I gave to Jesus. Lord, I love you today. And Lord, I know it's just a kind of a cheap illustration, but Lord, in all seriousness, I see these baskets. It reminds me of how many times you've filled. Lord, I not only brought that big of a lunch to you, I didn't even bring you a basket. But God, you've just blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. You've done more than we ever thought. God, I thank you. And Lord, I believe with these ladies in front of me that every one of them have some baskets that are pretty full. God, may we not forget that. We can get so enamored with what's going wrong that we forget the baskets that you have filled over the years. And God, I want to thank you for your patience. And God, right now, every one of these ladies, you know what's going on in their lives. And Lord, you know how at times we feel like our lunches have no value at all. But God, help them to see through your word that they do have value. That you see them as significant. That all it takes is your touch. Without it, we're nothing. But with it, we're everything. I pray that you would bless. In Jesus' name.